All right. Turn to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. We're going to get some scriptures. Nate's going to read our main verse, Exodus 17, 8 through 14. Trevor read Judges 17, 6. Zach, Judges 17, 8. Isaac, Judges 2, 16. Anthony, Exodus 17, 9. Excuse me. Cliff, read Matthew 8, verse 9. Frank, 1 Samuel 17, 37. Ken, Exodus 17, 16. Corey, Exodus 17, 14. Adam, Exodus 17, 11. And Jake, Exodus 17, 15 and 16. We're going to start today actually a series of lessons. And the Bible tells about a man named Joshua. It has lots to say about him, an entire book of his leadership. But it actually makes a very interesting study, and I'm encouraging you to look this up for yourself. The Bible actually speaks about and mentions him in seven or eight different instances before he became a leader. So if we look at those scriptures, they actually will show us preparation for leadership. We see things that God allows us insights. And so I'm encouraging you to see if you can find that. Obviously, the method that you would use is you would search Joshua, and you're looking for things before the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and see what you can see about those. So we're gonna do a series, go over a number of weeks. There'll be seven or eight lessons, and this series will be called Preparation for Leadership. We're going to take Exodus 17. And Exodus 17 is the first mention of Joshua himself. And what it speaks about is a battle, his involvement in battle. So there's a number of battle lessons that we're going to look at in today's lesson. Exodus 17, 8 through 14.
Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with the Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became very heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it out of the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven."
Okay, so battle lessons. There's three issues that our scripture talks about, all of which are very important if you want to be a man of God. Excuse me. And these are found in the context of battle. First issue, and here's the first issue that brings preparation for leadership, has to do with the issue of headship. Headship. Human nature makes us natural rebels. It is normal, it's not right, but it's normal to feel that we know best and we resent instruction. Judges 17:6.
In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. This is spoken of. This is the ending of the book of Judges, and this is the sin nature worked out classically as everyone did what's right in their own eyes. We are naturally rebellious. It is in us because of sin. This is fascinating when people have babies. They are cute and innocent, but there's going to come a point at which that child is going to learn the terrible word no, or I do it, as you know, my daughter used to say when she was a cute little thing, but I do it. And it's in there. It's naturally in there. And then, of course, we have many people, as they grow up, they had bad reference points of authority. People, whether that was their parents or teachers or whatever it might have been, they had reference points of someone in authority who abused them, mistreated them, didn't love them, etc., etc. And so that then takes the natural rebellion that's already in there and then just magnifies it even worse. Our scripture shows us something. That is, being a rebel makes you vulnerable. Numbers 12, verse 2. Actually, I think I might have skipped that one. They said, is Moses the only one the Lord speaks through? Didn't he also speak through us? And the Lord heard this. This is now we're seeing the God's people as they're moving into the promised land. Imagine you're living in slavery. You have zero hope for the future. Moses risks his life, comes, faces down Pharaoh. And so Moses and Aaron, as they do this, they lead you out. So now your life is saved. And so what happens? Now they start thinking, you know, how come Moses thinks he's the only good guy around here? How come he thinks he's so smart? Well, if you're so smart, why don't you get yourself out of Egypt? But nonetheless, that's what's happening. Then you have chapter 16, an entire chapter of people's rebellion and murmuring and complaining against that. And then you have the first part of chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, deals with the same issue. Again, they're speaking. Why? Because they feel they know better and they're resenting instruction. So then we have an important verse, Exodus 17, 8.
Now Amalek came and fought with the Israelites in Rephidim.
Okay, there's a word there that is a timing preposition. Now Amalek come. So when did Amalek come? After verses 1 through 7. The people are rebellious. They're resenting instruction. They're speaking against. And so the Bible says, and so now Amalek comes. So if you feel that you know better or you resent any kind of instruction in life, it gives access to the enemy. And it makes your heart spiritually vulnerable. So, God's plan in life is very clear. His plan is headship, is a Bible word, or leadership. That is God's plan. That you should have someone, depending on how you look at it, ahead of you. Doesn't mean, it has nothing to do with whether they're better than you. This is not a quality issue that someone is a better person. It just simply means they are ahead. Or they are above in some way. And when you say above, again, it's not value or worth. It's perspective. Someone who has a different perspective. And so that person provides direction. This is what you should do if you want things to go well or if you want safety in life. Judges 2:16.
Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them.
Okay, the Lord raised up judges, and the idea here, God's people who are in turmoil and facing danger, God raises up judges. The word is, he raised up a man who's going to pronounce sentence or to govern or to rule. That was his job. That is how, and every time the Bible says God's people be in chaos, he provides a man, a judge, a leader. And when he provides the leader, then they defeat the enemy. They go on in victory. When they rebel, then they go back to their problems. So, we're studying Joshua. We want to understand what what does it take to become a man of God? What does it take to become a leader? So, very interesting, having said all that, the first mention of Joshua is in connection with headship. What we read, what Nate read in Exodus 17, is that the first mention of Joshua is a man of God gives him instructions to follow in battle. Exodus 17:9.
And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with a rod of God in mine hand.
Okay, so this is the very first mention of Joshua. Joshua, you go, choose some men, and fight. Okay, so I said before that any of you that have children, the first terrible word that a child learns is no. And any of you have children, what's the second terrible word?
Mine.
Why? Yeah, mine maybe, but why? They go into the why stage. And so, here's the natural. Yeah, let's modernize this. So, here it is. Joshua, you go and fight. I'm going to stay here, and Aaron and her are going to go, why? Why do I have to go fight? How come Aaron and her get to go up there? Why doesn't Aaron and her go fight? Now, why don't I come up here? Right? That would be human nature. That's what we do. Because we resent, come on, we're men. We don't read maps. Right? We definitely don't, we don't have no stinking woman tell us what to do, right? We're men. So there's something in us that someone gives instruction and we naturally go, why? That's in us. But you're going to have to get over that if you want to be a man of God. So, there's some understandings of leadership, and that is that, you know, if you had a bad leader, if you had a bad father who abandoned you, beat you, if you had somebody in school or whatever, I'm sorry about that, but not everybody is like the past. So, leadership is based on, number one, he cares for me. Why did Moses say, you go fight, we're going to do that? Because he cares for you. He wants you to, you know, there are people I get, they come and ask for advice. Well, and so I give the advice, okay, this is what you should do, and then they act like they resent it. They say, why do you think that I'm telling you that? Do you think that I sit at home going, I want to wreck people's lives? Right? Is if you have someone who loves you, and often there are times when I'm telling you, this is what you should do, and you shouldn't do that. Why, Pastor Greg? Because I've done the same stupid thing. That's why. I can tell you that won't work well. That plan you're thinking of doesn't work good. So, Moses cares for Joshua. Or he has heard from God for my life. Why did he say to do this? Because he heard from God. That's all. This is what you should do because maybe he prayed about it. Or the whole idea of authority and the I think it's Ezekiel where it gives the four different aspects of leadership, and he sees this vision in the face of a man, a lion, something rather, and an eagle. So this is giving the perspectives of leadership. One of the things about leadership is just seeing from a higher perspective. Who sees better what's going on? Is the mouse who's crawling through the grass, or an eagle who's seeing the whole perspective? That's what leadership is. Not a quality issue. It's not a better. I'm not better or worth more. It's just simply I may be farther down the road, or I may be able to see from a better perspective, and that's leadership. So, listen to this: your ability to have spiritual authority is directly connected to accepting spiritual authority. If you want to have power in life with God, authority, the right to command, or someday the right to lead, that is absolutely connected to your ability to receive spiritual authority. So, the first mention of Joshua, we're looking at how does Joshua become a leader or become a man of God? How? By taking instruction from Moses. That determined the supernatural power available to him, as we'll look at in a minute. Matthew 8, verse 9.
For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.
Okay, a profound verse. This man is a Gentile. He's a Roman or an Italian. And he says to Jesus, I am under authority. So you can just speak the word. That's, so he understands as a, in the army, is you only have authority if you're under authority. Right? So if he rejects the general, hey, shut up. Who do you think you are? Why are you telling me what to do? I had a bad general one time, so I'm not going to ever listen to a general again. But then he would not have the right to say to the privates, do this or do that. He says, I have authority only because I'm under authority. That's a very profound lesson. So, this is true for you. If you want to be a leader, you want to be a man of God, rebellion and leadership do not go together. If you're a rebel, if you're pride-filled, if you resent it when someone gives you instruction, then you're not going to be able to do this. Years ago, had in the song service, had a guy that was he was a drummer, and so he would start the song, and it would be the wrong speed. It would just be, you know, celebrate. And so I was like, come on, man. Speed it up. I was leading songs. Speed it up. And so you could see it is he hated anybody to tell him what to do. So I was like, come on, speed it up. And he'd get defiant. I was like, this is not going to work, bro. I can't do this. I can't work in life. There are some of you here that you have lost jobs over this very issue. Because a boss says, this is what we're going to do. And you go, why? That's not going to work well. That's not a good... that doesn't work anywhere in life. And certainly in the kingdom of God, it doesn't work. So the problem is, this is tested. Aaron and Hur go with Moses. They have to accept also Moses' instruction. Why don't we get to fight? Our family's in danger. You come up, and so what do they see? They see Moses' frailty. So, leadership is also human. So, having a leader or someone being a pastor does not mean perfection. Right? When I woke up this morning and threw back the covers, the angels didn't begin to sing. They didn't shine a light as I went down the hall, you know. So they see Moses' hands are frail. So, what happens to some people is they see humanity. And so once they see humanity, they go, I'm not going to listen to that guy anymore. Well, you don't have that right. So I'm not talking about abuse or, we have procedures in place for that. Headship is the first lesson of leadership. Secondly, it's battle. It's not an accident that the first mention of Joshua involves a battle. Because leadership in the future is going to be all about battles. You're going to have to fight over fruitfulness, people, finances, spiritual assault. That's the way it is. This week I had to speak to a pastor. He's been in pastoring for years, but he's absolutely under assault and asked to speak to me. And in speaking to me, he's coming to the conclusion, I think I need to come home. I think I need to quit. It's because he's under assault. That's what it means to be in leadership. And the issue was he wasn't seeing things clearly and able to help him. But leadership, you say, I want to be a man of God. I want to be a preacher. So if all you see is getting to stand up in front of hundreds of people, but what you don't see is the assaults that you have to fight through. That's what it is. So a major part of discipleship then, major part of your training to be a man of God is going to involve battles. Now, disciples are often surprised by this. They're excited by a rally or a conference or discipleship class. Man, I want to preach. And then they're surprised. It's like, I said I wanted to preach, and then the transmission fell out of the car. My boss, he thinks he wants to get rid of me. That's a fight, isn't it? It's a battle. Why? Because you're going to fight bigger battles than that. And that's why we go through this. So we can make mistakes when this happens. Some men, they get into a battle as a disciple, and so they pull away from calling. I said I wanted to preach, and then the transmission fell out, and I lost my job, and the dog got sick, and so I don't think I'm going to go for ministry anymore. Well, that's a mistake. So, in other words, they come to the conclusion, I didn't have these problems before, which was a lie, but the devil just happened to intensify at that moment in time. Or they get an attitude toward Pastor Moses. That'd be, you know, here it is. Joshua's like, wow, I want to be in training to be a leader. Okay, go fight these guys. So you're looking at these guys want to kill me. You're going, Moses got me into this. Thanks, Mo. Great, this is your fault. And that's what happens to disciple someone. They get attitudes. I get calls sometimes from guys. Like, earlier this year, I got a call from a pastor. And this guy, he's like upset, almost like he's yelling at him. I said, whoa, why are you acting like I'm the enemy? All I've ever done is give you money. Come on, man. But that's what happens. You get under assault. It's like, you sent me here. You made me come here. So, battles. This is why we look at life, we think all trouble is bad. All trouble is bad. It's bad that I'm struggling financially. It's bad that anyone's sick. It's bad that there's problems with new converts. Not true. Joshua, I want to be a man of God. What's the first story we learn about Joshua? You got to fight. Because that's actually for your benefit. Battles are for your benefit. God allows you to go through battles, not because He hates you, not because He wants them to destroy you. As frustrating and as terrifying as it may be, it's because it's going to help you. It's for your future. Things you learn in the battles now are going to be very important for your future. 1 Samuel 17:37.
Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you.
Okay. Remember, I preached, did a lesson, did a discipleship, and referred to this is that miracles are transferable. That's what he said here. I learned a lesson with the lion and the bear. Now I'm in a different situation in life, but I'm using those lessons here. That's the whole point in life. So, in our scripture, the Bible says, and this is not an accident, a great part of our battle is with Amalek. Amalek. And this is an important issue. Amalek, biblically, is a symbol of the flesh. It's a symbol of the flesh. Exodus 17:16.
For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
Okay. So God makes he doesn't do this with everybody they ever fight, but he says with Amalek, I want you to fight them forever. So he's talking about our flesh. This is what hurts us the most. It's not demons from hell. It's our flesh inside of us. So, you want to be a man of God? Fight your flesh. Your fleshly tendencies towards laziness and carnality and lust and greed and fear and anger. He says, fight the enemy inside of you. And that is the key to becoming a man of God, because the flesh always opposes our destiny in God, so you must not give in to the flesh. Third lesson, in a battle lesson here, and that's the lesson of prayer. So this is the first battle, and God wants, when they finish this, He very specifically says, this battle, write it down. I want it to be a memorial. Exodus 17:14.
And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that it will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under him.
Okay, write it in a memorial in a book, recite it in the ears of Joshua, literally place it in Joshua's ears to become a memorial. A memorial is something that, it's a reference point, something you line up with for the future. So, What is it that he's supposed to remember forever? Joshua, write it down. Put this in your ears. Don't ever forget this. Headship is an important part of life. Battles are a part of life. Prayer is the key. Battles are determined by prayer. Exodus 17:11.
And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed.
Okay, so here is Moses on the mountain holding up his hands. This is a symbol of prayer. And when he, the Bible says his hand is up, or when he is praying, God's people are winning. When he is not praying, Amalek, the flesh, wins. Or the enemy wins. So he says, write this down, Joshua. Don't ever forget this. Battles are determined by prayer. How did we win? Joshua didn't come back because I'm bad. No, it's because we prayed. So they would have written this down. Did you realize Joshua went down there when you were hitting hot licks and you were winning? Did you actually know it's because we were praying? And when you seem to be losing, it's because we were not praying. So remember that for the rest of your life. You want to be a leader, you got to be a man of prayer. A leader's job is to pray. Moses' job in the fight, he wasn't being lazy or fearful when he said, you go in the valley and fight, and I'll go and pray. He was determining something in this. Moses' job was to fight in prayer. The disciples in the book of Acts, chapter 6, says, it is not good, or it doesn't make sense to leave prayer and the word and to wait on tables. Our job is prayer. Later on, it would be in Joshua 8:18. I didn't take the time for this one, but later on, Joshua would be doing this very thing. As they go against Ai, he lifts up his spear. In the same way, it's prayer which gives dominion. That's the key. So, let me ask you a question. Based on your prayer life right now, what kind of future are you going to have? What will your future look like 5 years from now based on your prayer life right now? Because he says, write this down, prayer is the key. Pastor, I know how. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. So you may or may not have a winsome personality. You might not be the brightest bulb. Prayer is the key. That's the job of leadership. So we see finally that God gets involved with people who value headship, pray, in order to fight spiritual battles. Exodus 17, 15, and 16.
And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner," for he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation."
Okay, so here is God's opinion. He says, this is who I am. I will help anyone who values headship, who prays, and fights spiritual battles. God says, I will partner with you to make sure that you can win. Okay, so that's battle lessons. Let's open for some questions. Something you want to ask. Nate?
I guess kind of a... Well, things have been crazy, you know that, lately. Is it a common thing? I mean, like, I was going through it spiritually, just completely dry. And, you know, Ashley and I set our heart on God's will, and everything just hit the fan spiritually, like cars and braking and stuff. But I was driving, and out of nowhere, I've never had this thought before in my life, and it was just like, just cash it in, and it will be better.
And that's a lie too.
So that common? I mean, because I mean, I'm like, whoa! I've never even had that happen to me before.
yeah, which is a lie. The devil lies. If he makes a deal with you, the Bible says he's the father of lies. He won't leave you alone anyway. So, yes, So all kinds of crazy things happen. Crazy thoughts come to us when we're under assault. So, sure. All kinds of crazy thoughts. As I say, someone who has been in the ministry for years, just this week, told me I think I should come back to Prescott. You know, so it was a crazy thought. That wasn't rational. It didn't make sense. So, yeah, that is common. Sure.
Going back to your leadership and how, like, the elders, they have eyes that you can't see. Whenever I get in trouble or I justify what I want to do, my dad puts me against the wall and says, you see this, but I, being older, I see this. And it's just like, but I want to do it my way. I believe that my way is better, but then it's just every time, whatever he says, it's always true. And then just because they can see it.
Yeah, that's true. So, Casey?
Is there anything significant when it says that Moses and Aaron went up on a hill as they're praying? Is there anything significant? I mean, they can survey the battle or
probably, yeah. I mean, maybe if you were to get technical, that probably would be the key, is that they were seeing, you know, God, those guys over there are losing, maybe, you know. So that's part of it, is knowing what's going on. That's why the Bible says to know the state of your herds or your flocks. You know what's going on. Know what needs to be, what people are going through. So that probably would be a valid point. Something you want to ask?
I was reading recently where Paul says the head to which the whole body receives nourishment. So, you know, if we think we can just subvert that, get nourishment on our own way, or choke off the head, then it ain't going to happen.
Yep.
Pastor, is it normal for battles, you know, like, as a disciple in the church, to go through a battle, but then as you try to step forward in ministry, for them to get more intense, is that generally what the enemy tries to do to dissuade you?
Well, there will be seasons of intensity, you know. So the what messes with people's heads is that they come to conclusions like this. Every time I try, this happens. Right? So that's what starts to mess with our heads. So the devil does not have unlimited power. He can't torment you every day until the day you die. So he but he's strategic. So I try. So he assaults. At some point, you will win and you will have a breakthrough. It will not be a constant battle. So sure, there are seasons of intensity, and it may seem like that. But if we get in our head, is like, I've been fighting and it hasn't been changing, or every time I do, then then that's when it gets dangerous, because then we start making. We start making bad decisions based on faulty information, which is dangerous.
So the proper response would be to pray.
Well, the proper response is you have to fight it through. Yeah, is I am going to do right anyway. I am going to win. So the ultimately, God's. That's why God says, write it down. I am Jehovah Nissi. I am the Lord, who is your banner, or literally the one, the Lord our banner. In those days, they didn't have radios, right? These days, we say, I'm the Lord your walkie-talkie. That's what he's literally saying, is where is the problem? Send troops over here. That's what a banner did, is that's what you're doing, is you're in trouble. You held up a banner, and they raised the help to that point. That's what it literally is saying. So God says, I will help you. He doesn't, however, say, I will make it easy. That's our problem. It's like, you know, Lord, I'm getting the snot beat out of me. Are you going to help or not? Right? And so, is God, does he tell the truth or not? You will win, but there will be intense battles. Yeah. But that, again, what you have to understand is that's not a bad thing. God help you if your discipleship is easy every day. I got lots of money in the bank. Everybody loves me. No one's sick. All that. And you go out in the ministry. No. You're going to be in big trouble. because you'll be totally surprised by battles. Right?
So how do you transfer this to others? Because, like, as a disciple, we're going to fight through stuff, and it might not be exactly what we're going to fight through. It might be actually bigger when you get sent out. Like, if you had a breakthrough with fruit as a disciple, and then you have, like, a money problem, you still know that God can break through. But then, if you're pastoring, how do you teach that to someone, like, in your church or something like that, if they're fighting through that? Is it just the same?
Yeah, what have I been teaching you? So that's what you teach them, right? You teach them the reality of battles, that God is for them, that He provides power, He provides authority. Because everybody has to fight it through on their level, right? So there may be, there will be different types of fights, and they may be of larger size and intensity, but they are transferable.
I guess what I'm wondering is if I've had a breakthrough with, like, fruitfulness or something like that, and they need a breakthrough in something completely different, would it help them to give the testimony that I got a breakthrough in this area, even though it's completely different?
So, well, you can tell them your own testimony. So, number one, of course, ultimately it's Bible. That's what we care about. What does the Bible say? That's the ultimate. Personal testimonies are helpful. But I don't just tell, everybody has a limited number of testimonies or stories, right? Unless you're Roman Gutierrez. They seem to be endless. You know? I don't know. He seems to be endless. But most of us have a limited number. So what you do is you tell other people's stories to encourage. That's why it's encouraging. Anything God does for you that's good, tell me. One is because it encourages me. But two, I may use that to encourage somebody else too. So that's also valid. Right? Here, over here, Tyson.
As a pastor, as a disciple, you're going through battles and you're fighting through breakthroughs in the various areas as they come. But once you become a pastor, once you're out pioneering, the assaults, I'm sure, change. I'm sure the dynamics change because now you're the headship. Now you're the leader. And so now not only do you have to deal with the assaults that are coming directly at you, but then you also have to deal with the assaults of your congregation as well. How do you... Do you compartmentalize the ones that you're going through at the time so you can help deal with,
The church? So what you have to understand is that, first of all, so you have to understand that the old saying is, whom God calls, he equips. Mm-hmm. Right? So if God calls you to pastor, He's got to give you a greater equipping, right? Mm-hmm. As you describe it, it sounds impossible. It's like, I'm fighting my own battles, and now I got to fight your battles too. I'm dead. Right? So is God obviously has to give you a greater capacity for that. So is that there is an element, yes, that sometimes it is people have battles. I'm simply helping them. I have compassion, but it's not personally tormenting for me. Then there are seasons of assault. Some months back I rallied the church because we were under assault as a church, and I felt that for all of us. And then there are personal issues. You're fighting your own health, family, whatever kind of battles you're going through. So, but the answer is God gives you an equipping for that. That's the whole key. It's not really compartmentalizing. The only way you compartmentalize is you have to function. That comes under be instant, in season, out of season. Right? When my daughter was backslidden, I couldn't come to church and go, folks, I don't have a sermon tonight because I'm really bummed out. that's not going to work. We're going to function whether I feel like it or not. So that's the compartmentalizing. But as far as what you actually are asking, it's not really a compartmentalizing. It's more of an extra equipping. So God gives you greater responsibilities. So you have heard me say that in pastoring, you're going to have bigger battles. You're going to fight bigger demons. But on the flip side, God is going to give a greater grace and a greater anointing. Otherwise, it'd be impossible. Hmm. We couldn't do it.
How do you gain perspective if you're in the middle of a battle? I mean, if you talk to another brother who's in the same battle, they're both like, oh, we're both dying.
Well, yeah, so you obviously you want to talk to somebody who has some faith, first of all. You don't want to talk to Dr. Doom in the middle of it. Yeah, you're dead, dude. So you want to talk to somebody who's got some faith, who will encourage. And then of course, the simple rule of thumb is that guys who are out, if they don't keep in contact with me, they're very unlikely to survive over time. And that's a great mistake. Huge mistake I see when guys... they contact me when they got a good report, and then I'll hear from them for ages. That's a terrible mistake. So meanwhile, their brains are scrambled eggs. So there's something about there's something about spiritual impartation of speaking. It's not like when guys talk to me. It's not like I give them the answer. It's a matter of perspective. So number one is that anybody who internalizes all their problems, which usually is because of pride, right? I don't want to tell you that I have a problem, like I would never work that out, you know? Like I assume you're all perfect. Like, what? You have a problem? So that's a mistake. But simply speaking about it, it helps. In South Africa, when we're under intense spiritual battles, we would get together sometimes at breakfast just talking with our brother, life feels better. So there is an element of that. But then headship also. So that may be just simply a connection that helps. And it may also be that there is specific instruction or direction. Do this or don't do that. So all of those put together. So some of those you can use now.
Maybe this is the same answer you just gave, but if you're the pastor, would you ever protect the congregation from trouble that you're in, like not share something with them if you're going through something?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to not discourage them, it's like if it's...
Yeah, oh yeah, you know. Yeah, this is often a joke with my pastoral friends is there are times people come for counseling and say, wouldn't it be nice one day if you go, oh, you got problems, let me tell you about problems now.
Okay.
So...
Pastor, kind of a practical note. Oftentimes, because I'm in a position of leadership at work, I'll give a guy a suggestion or leave open-ended questions so that they have space to try and figure it out. But I know that there's times where I have to just say, no, do this or do that. But with, you know, the rebellious part of that person wanting to either exert their own authority. I mean, are there times where, I mean, God is testing our inclination towards authority? I mean, do you test our inclination towards authority by, you know, not just, like, leaving it a little open-ended and see where we're going with things?
There's all kinds of different ways, you know. There's different ways. Number one is following instructions. That would be helpful. Do this, do that, and do it like this. If it's not done at all or done at a different time or a different way, that's a bad sign. Following instructions is kind of the most basic element, isn't it? Is I'm told what to do and I do it. So beyond that, then to be a leader is a thinker. What can I do more? How can I be a greater blessing? Right? Weak men do as little as possible, and only when they're ordered and commanded. But the bottom line is that in the workplace as well as church is ultimately there are guys that are just rebels. They're not going to work. It's like, right? You got to at work. You say you shouldn't work here anymore because all you do is cause trouble, and you make more work for me. That's one thing I hate in life as a pastor is I got enough stinking work in life. Please don't make more work for me. If I got to give instructions to somebody, and then I have to check up on the instructions every hour and a half. Are you doing what I said to do? Okay, are you doing what I said to do? I wonder if you did what I said. I can't do that, man. My brain doesn't work like that.
Is it in the context of that answer and everything that you're asking? The man who buried his talent, would you classify him in one sense as a rebel?
he didn't do what he needed to do. He looked at his pastor a bad way.
Sure. So, but there's often different reasons for rebellion, right? Fear, bad reference points in the past, you know. So, but for whatever reason, is the bottom line, you got to do what you're told to do. That's the key. And if you can't, you know, the guy who resented as a drummer, we got a different drummer. Like, that's not going to work in life, bro. And he went on, his rebellion went on, he's backslidden today. I'll say it, because that was in him. He didn't just resent timing instructions on music. He resented everything. He knew better, and he's backslidden today. So, because that was at work in his life, and ruined many things. So, you know, that's true in life. I can't work with disciples who can't follow instructions. That's not going to work. That's baby. To me, that's baby and stuff. Following an instruction is that's really a child should be able to do that, right? So we move on from there. So sometimes you know, when a guy's having problems, sometimes I can explain it. The reason why is there are times when it's not necessary, because I said so is a valid reason. Doesn't matter. Either we don't have time for this, or I'm not telling you because I want you to trust what I say. So, you know, there's lots of different circumstances. Okay, so my challenge to you is, that's one mention. As I said, is how I did this, is I just simply did a search on all the mentions of Joshua before the book of Joshua, which is Joshua chapter 1 is where he takes over in leadership. So look at those instances, see if you can find for yourself the other mentions of Joshua and what are their significance. That'd be a good study for you to look at and see what you come up with. And then we'll look at these together. Another 6 or 7 lessons. Okay? That's it.